You're listening to This Week in Fantasy Baseball. Hello, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Fantasy Baseball. I'm your host, John Kuh. In this episode, we are going to be joined by Pitchers writer Tanner McGrath to talk about his article on Rafael Devers. But before we do that, again, this is a solo pod, so it's a little bit of a shorter version of what we normally do. Lee will be back next week, and we will be back to our normal scheduled programming. But just a reminder that the news and the hitter recaps and the pitcher recaps that we provide on this show can always be accessed on PitcherList in our website. We've got the MLB moments and news articles that come out every single day. We have the hitter recap articles that come out every single day, and the SP roundup articles that that Nick writes every single day as well. So a lot of good stuff there. And if you're looking for streamers, obviously Nick has his streamers articles every single day, but we also have other great weekly articles that look at two-start pitchers, that look at pretty much every single matchup that's available for the next week. And so if you're looking for some insights on how to improve your fantasy team, definitely check out PitcherList. But before we get into the podcast, just a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at ThisWeekPL, and you can send us your fantasy baseball questions to our email at ThisWeekPLpod@gmail.com. Lastly, make sure that you subscribe to or follow the podcast on whatever streaming platform that you listen to your podcasts. We're on all of them, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you listen to your podcasts. So make sure you follow us and leave a 5-star review if you enjoy listening to the show. Now I'm going to be joined by Tanner McGrath. If you've listened to our pod before, you'll know Tanner's voice. He had a podcast with us probably about a couple months earlier before the season started, talking about Tarik Skubal and how he's a potential Cy Young candidate. So Tanner, welcome to the show. Obviously glad to have you back. And for those who haven't heard you yet, could you just give a quick introduction to who you are, what you do for PitcherList, and other baseball things that you're involved in?
Rarely have I been so correct about a take as I have been about Tarik Skubal this year.
Completely.
I mean, literally, my entire thing was that he was going to be a Cy Young contender, and now he's the favorite. So that's been awesome. But a little bit of background for people who didn't listen, the naive people that should have listened to that episode. I started writing about baseball my sophomore year in college. I started my own baseball gambling blog. And I went to journalism school to try and cover sports full time. I ended up being a journalism school dropout, but I just kind of started working small freelance jobs, mostly in the gambling space, covering baseball, and worked my way up the ladder. And now I work full time at the Action Network for Better Collective, covering baseball alongside college basketball and football. And I joined PitcherList just this year, first time, to try and cover baseball in a more general sense, because, I think I could talk about some more things, not so much gambling related, but more just sort of rambling about my thoughts. You can catch me on Twitter at Tanner's Truth, and you can read all my stuff on the site, including this Rafael Devers column that we're going to get into.
Yeah, we're going to talk about your article, Rafael Devers is Ascending. And I think it's an interesting conversation to have, because we're talking about a guy who, let's just say he's kind of end of first round, top of the second round, sort of a pick in fantasy drafts. He's already kind of at the top of his game. And yet I love that your article kind of thinks that there's maybe something that, we could squeeze out a little bit more from Devers. Kind of for me, maybe just looking at Devers, having, studied his production for this interview. The scouting report on him, I was super surprised. He's only 27. Like, he's still a relatively young baseball
entering
player.
Entering his prime.
Completely. Yeah. It just, obviously, you mentioned he just signed that huge 10-year, $313 million extension with the Red Sox.
And sorry to interrupt you, but I talked about how, Red Sox ownership basically made a conscious choice between Mookie Betts, Xander, and Devers. And I think they just opted for the younger guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's young. Right. He's going to be, his contract will run out when he's, 38. So he'll be through his best years, hopefully.
Yeah, looking at his career page, it was kind of surprising. I didn't realize he debuted when he was 20 years old, and he's basically been good ever since.
He was a pretty key part of that 2018 championship team, and he wasn't even, remotely close to where he is now.
Right.
He came up in some big moments as a very young guy.
Yeah, it's his career story has been really awesome. In regards to, like, you know, who he is as a fantasy baseball player, you know, he's to me, he's kind of a guy who has 30 home run power, you know, pretty okay walk rates, good average, you know, good slugging percentage. So, like, you know, really solid ratios and counting stats guy, except for the fact that the Boston Red Sox have not been really helping him in the runs and RBI department. But that's a topic for another day. But he's kind of been a consistent top five third baseman since he started. I was looking at how he looks in 5x5 leagues. For the past couple of years, he was second best third baseman in 2023, fifth best in 2022, second best in 2021. Throughout the weird 2020 season, he was actually good in that one too. It's just I just don't really care about the stats in that one. And then he was the best third baseman in 2019. And of course, you know, when it comes to fantasy baseball, third basemen are super valuable. I remember last year there was like talks of like Jose Ramirez is maybe a guy you want to consider at number one, not because he's just a good baseball player, obviously, but he's a third baseman and scarcity is high at that position. So obviously Devers really valuable, not just in real baseball, but also in fantasy baseball. So this idea then of him being ascending, I think is a really interesting topic to dig into. So in your opinion, what's changed this season and what's kind of different this year overall that is making Devers not just, you know, a really solid third baseman, but a really solid baseball player and fantasy contributor overall?
First of all, just want to say Red Sox are my favorite team. I grew up in New England. I love my chubby third baseman, and I'm excited to talk about Devers. I relish any opportunity I get to write about this team and the best players on this team. You know, for a quick plug, I wrote a huge long article a couple weeks ago on the Red Sox pitching staff improvements and how they're no longer throwing fastballs and their new pitching coaches. So everyone should go check that out because they are my favorite team. I know more about them than most. But talking about specifically Raffy this year, the biggest difference is just that he's laying off more. That's that. I mean, he's on pace for a career low chase rate, just 31%, which is like up to 5 percentage points lower than his like career high in that mark. He's on pace for career high run value marks in like out of zone swing decisions, chase decisions. And, you know, even crazier, which I was surprised to see, is that he's lowered his zone swing rate 6 points year over year, too. Down to 71%. And what I think we're seeing this with a lot of players. The most obvious example is Kyle Tucker. And I actually wrote a big long piece about him for the Action Network that people can go check out. The most obvious result of fewer swings is more walks. So Devers is walking nearly 13% of the time. That's a 3% year over year increase. It's almost double his mark from that COVID shortened 2020 season.
Yeah,
gotta throw that out, but it's a huge increase. And so he's just getting on base more. I mean, he's posting a 375 OBP, top 20 among qualified hitters. And, you know, he's always been a bit of a free swinger. And so to see this development has been really encouraging. But even more encouraging is that he has not lost an ounce of power in his quest for more walks. I mean, as you said, Devers has always been a slugger, right? Always been a big hitter. But the best hitters in the game have a unique power discipline combination. And this has been like the hot new topic in hitter analysis and something that I'm covering a whole lot in early 2024 is smart swing decisions, right? Like Corey Seager, he exemplifies smart swing decisions, which is why Robert Orr in Baseball Prospectus named their new metric after him, Seager,
right?
Selective aggressive engagement rate. And he's the guy that really started this whole conversation. Swinging only and swinging aggressively at smart pitches at pitches you can drive, pitches you can hit, like good pitches, is the best way to simultaneously increase your power discipline or plate discipline and power, right? Which is really how the best hitters reach their peak. And Devers has always had the power, but he was way too free swinging in his young career. In the minor leagues, he struggled with walks a lot. He struggled with whiff rates, strikeouts for a little bit. But he stopped being as aggressive, which is surprising. He's dropped his pitcherless has a swing aggression metric.
Yep.
And he's dropped his swing aggression rate 5 percentage points year over year. And he's thus increased his strike zone judgment dramatically, but he's still swinging at balls he can crush. For example, you know, as I mentioned, fastballs have the most damage attached to them, which is why Red Sox pitchers have stopped throwing them. Devers is slugging 605 off four-seam fastballs, and he's swinging it over 75% of high inside zone fastballs, and he's laying off pitches in the chase zone more. So if you put that all together, combined with this higher walk rate, I mean, you're talking about career high marks in WRC plus and weighted on base average. It's, you know, I mean, you say he's always been really solid. He literally is on pace to post a career best year. And I really think he has found something with that power discipline combination where he really is ascending. And I am curious, you know, you mentioned his rankings from the past few years. Where does he rank among fantasy third basemen this year?
I have not looked that, but let me look that up quick. And while I do that, I do have kind of an interesting thing here where you mentioned his zone swing rates have gone down. I think it's fascinating that while that's the case, his zone contact rate is actually like the same, which I find very interesting of like he is swinging less, but he's still making about the same amount of contact.
I think he's just making overall smarter swing decisions. You know, I think he's really laying off bad pitches, like pitches that he doesn't think he can crush. And he's only swinging aggressively at pitches that he can crush in the zone or out of the zone. And that is just like, you know, I mean, that's the big thing about all these hitters that are like really ascending up the ranks. It's just it's power discipline combination. It's selective aggressive engagement swings. Yeah. And that's what I think Raffy is doing this year.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting when you look at how he ranks this year in a 5x5 league. So I'm using the Fangraphs auction calculator, just looking at 2024 years to date stats and how they can, you know, how they look. And this was really more valuable for kind of a roto context, but you can kind of still think about it in a head to head context. And he's ranked as the 10th third baseman.
Okay.
But part of that I think is because he's taking hits in the RBI department. He is taking some hits in the run department. He's kind of, you know, basically average right there. And he just doesn't have the stolen bases there. And I think part of that is the fact that there's also another third baseman called Ellie De La Cruz, who is just completely destroying that category for third baseman overall. But the average is really, really solid for him there. Obviously the home runs are really good for him there. I think it's a little bit of a misnomer to say that he's the 10th best third baseman in terms of fantasy production. I think, you know, he's been more valuable than that for sure. Like the names in front of him are guys who, you know, I wouldn't necessarily put above Devers. You know, you got Matt Chapman, Isak Paredes has been having a solid year this year, but you know, I wouldn't say he's been better than Devers, Ryan McMahon, Jordan Westberg, who I know you've done a little bit of research on for this, this upcoming article that you've got. But yeah, there's been a lot of young guns. Michael Garcia is weirdly ranked fourth, and all of that is because of his runs and stolen bases.
Yeah, and you know, as I talked about like on the last podcast, I didn't join Pitcherlist as a fantasy analyst. I'm actually a terrible fantasy baseball player.
Sure, yeah.
I joined as just more of a general analyst. And if you look at like how Raffy stacks up across third baseman in the league, I don't know if there's four or five I would take ahead of him. Especially with his like his improvements right now, just to like build a team around. Obviously, you know, the Red Sox, the injury thing has just been crazy with, you know, everyone getting hurt.
Right.
But I think that, you know, picking between Xander, you could say what you want about Mookie. I mean, that's a whole different conversation. But picking between those three, I don't think the Red Sox made a bad choice in building their team around this third baseman, who is an elite hitter, getting better. And while he lacks a little bit of consistency on defense, I think it's just like a really valuable piece. And I don't think there are many third basemen I would take ahead of him from a team building standpoint.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. I think out of those three, they didn't make the wrong choice. I think you could say.
Absolutely. Xander would have been the wrong choice.
Yeah, completely. That's the wrong choice. Right. Yeah. And so I think when you're doing between Devers and Mookie, you know. Let's just say the Mookie deal does not look great now, but
The Red Sox aren't necessarily in win now mode, though.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's but then again, when are they going to be in win now mode because of the front office? But and the ownership. Yeah. But that again, that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, exactly. That's one that I'm sure many Red Sox podcasts love talking about, and maybe slamming the fact that John Henry has, you know, maybe lost a competitive bone or something like that, but.
Yeah, I won't. As a Red Sox fan, I won't go on a rant.
So I think the one thing that maybe is the elephant in the room here is the fact that part of the power conversation for Devers this season has been the fact that he went on basically a historic seven-game run, I believe, right? Or was it a six-game run?
Six-game run.
It was a six-game run where he hit a homer every single game.
I think he homered twice during the stretch, too.
It was a little nuts what he did in that stretch. But, you know, like we said, Devers is typically a 30-homer guy. You kind of expect to see some of these streaks. He, you know, since the last game where he hit that homer, which was May 20th, he actually hasn't hit a homer since. So that's kind of the streakiness of some of these things. But what in his batted ball profile has been impressive to you this season and has shown why he's been able to be so successful at the plate?
John, you did read my article on this, is that right, before we hopped on?
I did read it, yes.
So you know the answer to this question, which is...
yes, I do.
The Raffy, the six homer streak, the six straight games with a home run is a franchise record.
Yes.
Breaking the previous franchise record held by none other than Bobby Dalbec.
Yeah.
Much maligned first baseman who hit a home run in five straight games during the COVID shortened season. And that hurts for me because my dad lives in Portland, Maine.
Okay.
And I go to Sea Dogs games with him all the time.
Yeah.
And I went to a game where Bobby homered three times in a game and we were like, dude, this is the next superstar on the Red Sox.
Oh, completely.
And we've just been so disappointed over the last few years. It's been so brutal. But back to Devers.
Yes.
The question about like what in his batted ball profile is like most impressive. It's just that he sustained his top notch batted ball profile despite not swinging as much. Mm-hmm. Right? He's always been a great power guy. He's always been a Statcast darling. Like from day one, his Savant page every year has been red.
Yep.
And I guess you'd think that maybe he would lose some of his mashing ability by swinging less and by being not as aggressive and thus wouldn't have like just the general swing opportunities to park 30 homers. But that just hasn't happened. You know, his Savant page is still as red as ever. He's actually approaching career highs in things like barrel rate, ISO, expected weighted on base average on contact. And when you don't swing as often, or I guess, you know, when players don't swing as often, but they keep their batted ball numbers up, you can sometimes like see some of your power ratios increase. And I think that's actually happened with Devers, which I think is really, really encouraging to see. And the second thing that I see is that he's still hitting breaking and off speed stuff.
Yeah.
Arguably better than ever. He's absolutely obliterating, tearing the cover off of spinners, even when he's laying off more of them because, you know, pitchers use the secondary stuff to force chases.
Right.
And he just has such an amazing swing range, which we'll talk about in a second, that he's able to hit, you know, low spinners that pitchers try to force chases with, smash opposite field balls. Like he's sustaining all of his prior marks despite showing better discipline, better swing judgment, and swinging less. And I think that is just, it's just encouraging to see. It's really impressive in my mind, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, I think a really good stat you call out in the article, and granted, you wrote this on May 24th, so the numbers have probably changed a little bit, but he's slugging 762 off off-speed pitches, which to me is insane. Right, like that's a crazy number in terms of pitches that generally you lay off on, and we'll talk about this a little bit later. But Devers just has some ability where even when guys are throwing absolute junk at him, he's able to capitalize in big ways, and not in just, you know, getting hits here and there, but he's slugging, you know, over 700. On these types of pitches, which I think is a really impressive thing to
consider. He has sneaky athleticism. I think that's the key really with him. It's like you don't look at him and be like, oh wow, like, you know, this is the model of a pro athlete. But
hey, you said it yourself, like, tubby third baseman, right?
Yeah. But he's really athletic and he has really great swing range, like I said. He can get around on a lot of balls. And even when you watch him at third base on defense, he's inconsistent is his problem, but he can make every play. He has the range to make every play. I've seen him make some of the best plays among current third basemen. So I think it's just like, you know, athleticism translates in everything. And I think that Raffy, his pure athleticism gets undersold, which really helps him in a lot of his power numbers because he's just able to hit balls hit tough balls further than a lot of guys.
Yeah. So I think what maybe that this kind of leads to the next question, where you've highlighted that Rafi can go oppo, right? He's got incredible opposite field power. I think there's a tweet you've got there from at Red Sox Stats where, you know, he's basically leading the league, I think, in opposite field wOBA. Like, it's not even close, like where the other hitters are compared to where Devers is, which I find really, really impressive. But you also note this year he's actually had a career low opposite field rate, 21%. I'm just curious because, you know, this is someone who's just kind of thinking about Rafi being, you know, a left-handed hitter. He plays his games at Fenway. How much of his opposite field kind of dominance is borne by the fact that he gets to hit off the monster?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, over the past 10 years, mm-hmm. the Red Sox have hit 300 more doubles than any other team.
Yeah,
that's just part of the Fenway experience, right? It's mm-hmm. you play volleyball with a monster. It's a high run environment. That's that, right?
Yeah.
Devers has obviously seen some of that boost. Only Xander and Mookie have hit more doubles at Fenway during this past decade
mm-hmm.
than Rafi. But as you mentioned, he's also on pace for a career low opposite field rate this season, if you throw out 2020, which yep. is really surprising to see because his power numbers going oppo are insane, but he's not actually doing it all that often. So it's like the majority of his profile is still coming from balls going into right or center field.
Mm-hmm.
And what's surprising about that is that he is pulling rockets. I mean, so on pulled balls this season, mm-hmm. 95 mile per hour average exit velocity, 57 hard hit rate, an 820 expected slugging. He's just not elevating them yet. And you can go mm-hmm. look at the radial graph I published in the article. A yep. lot of his barrels are with a lower launch angle. Mm-hmm. And so I yep. think that he could actually see an even like surprising bump in power once those pulled rockets start kind of flying through the air, getting down in that kind of rangy right field in Fenway.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt that over the last, you know, during his entire career, really, everyone on the Red Sox is going to get a boost from the monster.
Yeah.
But I don't think that has any real impact on what he is doing this year from like a general perspective. I think mm-hmm. that he's just playing the best ball of his career.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got a good graphic there, like you just mentioned from Baseball Savant, that's kind of tracking what it looks like, what his breakdown looks like in terms of his batted balls and X velocity and launch angle. It's just there's probably an annoying number of singles that show up in that graph of barrels essentially, but
yeah, they all just kind of sneak through the right yep. side when they mm-hmm. should be going for doubles down the line or homers around the pesky pole, honestly.
Right, exactly. All right, so in this section about power, you also talk about Devers' ability to golf pitches, you know, better than any hitter, which to me, you know, when I think of a guy who golfs pitches, I think the name that comes to mind for me is O'Neill Cruz because the guy's like 6'9", right? And like that's kind of the only way he can reach some of those pitches. But Rafi is, you know, he's only 6 feet. That's not necessarily, you know, short, obviously, but
he's short and stocky.
Yeah, he's short and stocky. That's the best way to describe him. But he's usually not the ones that need to develop the type of skill of being able to kind of expand your range, so to speak, and be able to get pitches out of the strike zone. Why does Devers do so well at pitches below the zone? What are you seeing from him that allows him to take advantage of those types of pitches that other guys just might not bother trying to reach?
So this is what's interesting. This is the most interesting thing that I found when diving into Devers'
yeah.
The overall profile. He doesn't really mash low fastballs. Instead, he is tearing the cover off of low breaking and off speed pitches, mm-hmm. which is so valuable because opposing pitchers are going to use secondary stuff in the low zone to generate chases. It's just like we talked about with Skubal in the preseason, how yeah. you know he throws high fastballs and then uses that to throw low secondary stuff. But despite him obliterating that stuff, he isn't really chasing the low stuff, right? He has relatively mm-hmm. low whiff rates against the secondary offerings compared to like yep. league averages. And while he has high outside swing rates on those pitches, it doesn't matter because he's hitting so many. He's slugging 640 against below the zone breaking balls and 500 against below the zone off speed balls. He's identifying low zone secondary stuff so well, laying off when he can't mash it, but then dominating against the pitches that he can mash. And his extraordinary, you know, low zone swing range, as I talked about, and just absurd kind of power and ability to drive the ball just means he can do it better than most people. I mean, you know, like I said, like I talked about in the article, three of his 10 homers this year have come on pitches below the knees. All of them were on breaking or off speed stuff. And two went out to dead center field. How do you even hit a breaking ball below the knees out to dead center field? I rarely see that. And I think that brings us back to the whole point of new era hitting analysis, which is that like selective engagement and aggression is the key to simultaneously improving your plate discipline and power metrics. And Devers is doing it all over the field, all over the zone, and directly inside my heart. So, and you know, it's funny, as I was just talking about that, he just chased a low curveball below the zone and struck out, but that's not the average.
Right. Exactly. It's fascinating looking at his stats there, because again, you've got a graphic there from at TJ Stats, and his O swing rate is 31%, but his O contact is 66%. Obviously, not all of that contact is, you know, loud or good contact, but the fact that like two out of the three times when he swings at a pitch like outside the zone, he's making contact on it, I think is
really
kind of impressive.
It's really impressive. Yeah.
It's
the swing range. He can get everything, you know, which you don't expect from a power hitter, and you don't expect from a short and stocky power hitter, but that's what he does. It's what kind of makes him a little different from a lot of other players with his profile.
Yeah, and he kind of breaks, you know, all these kind of more advanced models. I was just looking at, you know, his some of his metrics on you know, PLV's hitter rolling charts, and it's kind of hilarious when you look at his strike zone judgment, because it's all over the place. But it's not because he doesn't know where the strike zone is, it's just because he's just aggressive at these pitches that are below the zone, right? And normally, you know, the robots would say, you know, don't swing at those things, but Devers is able to swing at them and make good and have good results come from those types of swings, that
which is really
other pitchers wouldn't do.
It's a very special trait that he has, and combining it with better judgment on those out of zone pitches makes it even more dangerous. Because if you swing a ton at junk and you have good results sometimes, it's not going to end up with these results. But he's selectively identifying junk and crushing it. And that's just so impressive and so different about him, especially among third basemen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If only we can maybe get a few more batters around him and get those run and RBI numbers up, that would be pretty nice, and be able to take advantage of how good of a player that he is. But
the Red Sox have won the 2027 World Series. Well, I'll enjoy my last place finishes until then. Although they've been exceeding expectations so far this year.
Well,
I'm actually not too disappointed in the squad at large.
That's good. At least you've got that going for you, even if the numbers haven't been as great. So,
well, you know, you got some stars on the team. Tanner Houck is a potential candidate, honestly, and Raffy is having the best season of his career. So, you know, there's a lot more that we can complain about. We could be the Rockies, you know?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I know you wrote the article on the Red Sox pitcher, so I'm not going to delve into that too much, but I've mentioned on the podcast before on my home league fantasy team, for some reason, I just fell in love with the Red Sox pitcher. So I have Nick Pivetta, Brian Bayo, and Tanner Houck on my fantasy team, which probably is like a bad thing strategy wise, but also like those three are like really solid pitchers, and I'm like, yeah, I don't mind having three pitchers on the same team if they're all returning me pretty good stats.
Surprisingly, Bayo is the only one underperforming.
Yeah, well, and he also just came off the injured list too, so it's been a little bit weird, but all three of those guys,
like, Red Sox, my fellow Red Sox fans, like, Boston sports fans are so spoiled, you know, and like, if, like, if you're not like in championship contention, it doesn't matter, you know,
right. 500, yeah.
But it's just like, enjoy what you got, man. It could be so much worse. Like I am having fun this season because there's a lot to like and look forward to, even if the results are not going to be immediate. And Devers is, like we talked about, is only 27.
Yeah.
He's going to enter his prime. I mean, his 3-year Zips projection, like after this season, I bet it's going to jump up. I like, there's a lot to look forward to, and a lot of it centers around this young lefty third baseman with surprising athleticism and is smarter plate discipline. So I'm really excited for the future of baseball in Boston.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be exciting. So appreciate you taking some time out of your day to come on the podcast and talk about Rafael Devers. Is there any articles that you've got coming out soon? Any way people can be reaching, kind of following you on social media, feel free to share that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Once again, on Twitter or X or whatever it's called, at Tanner's Truth. That's TANNERS Truth. Tomorrow, this will be Saturday, June 1st. I am publishing a meta-analysis of players over the past 4 seasons who have sustained high whiff rates but low strikeout rates. And it's one of the more in-depth statistical analysis pieces that I've ever done as a baseball writer. So please go check it out. I think it's going to be an absolute hit. And otherwise, thank you so much for having me on, John. And thank you for letting me talk about, you know, my favorite team, my favorite player.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming on and sharing to us a little bit about this guy who has a lot more potential behind him. I again, didn't realize he was only 27, which is crazy.
Only 27. Long career to go, long contract. Yeah. It's going to be good days ahead.
Yeah, completely. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing more of Devers' performance get a lot better this improve this season. So, thanks. And that will wrap up our podcast for today. Just a reminder again that you can find us at ThisWeekPL at Twitter, or send us your comments and questions at ThisWeekPLpod@gmail.com. You can find myself on Twitter at TheJohnKa, and you can find Lee on Twitter at Regicidal. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the Pitcherless podcast feed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to your podcasts, and leave us a 5-star review if you enjoy the show. Lastly, sign up for Pitcherless Plus. By doing so, you can join us in the Pitcherless Discord and get advice from all of the fantasy experts and writers over there. That's all for this week. We'll be back with our regular programming on the next episode of This Week in Fantasy Baseball when Lee returns. For Lee, I'm John, and we'll see you in the next one. Later, everyone.